All right, in the spotlight today, I suppose the word reputation could well be in the spotlight, but that's another whole debate, isn't it? But definitely in the spotlight is, it says Professor Dr. Marcus Renner is the man in the spotlight. So this is his title. He's the co-owner and managing partner of the Branding Institute. And then it says CMRAG. You're going to have to fill in all the blanks there. What does all that mean? And also visiting professor at the Hanley Business School. But based very much, it says Basel area, Switzerland.
Exactly.
Okay. And then dash managing consulting. Management consulting. Have I left anything out? Not FIFA president candidate, because you are Swiss chairman. You could well be there right now.
Yeah, you left out a very good point. That's the reason why I'm coming here. This is because we launched yesterday the International Brand and Reputation Community, the South African chapter for that. That is a movement on brand and reputation. It's a non-governmental organization to bring forward the discipline of brand and reputation worldwide.
So when you say you launched a committee? An umbrella body?
Yeah, it's a chapter. We call them the country chapters. So we intended to start it in South Africa, and then we came to the conclusion that it should the aim should be to cover whole Africa with that. So it's a kind of movement, and it's going forward.
And what's it going to do? What's the purpose of it?
The purpose is to bring the disciplines of brand and reputation to a more professional standard worldwide.
Right.
So what we know from experience, consulting large organizations, and I've been working in large organizations myself, is that very often the brand management marketing is totally separated from the business and from the purpose of the business. And we want to bring and teach and train people responsible for the subject of brand reputation to bring it to the next level, in the end, with the ultimate outcome to provide to the business.
Would I be right in saying it's a subject that's difficult to measure?
Yes, of course.
Brand
and that is a very good point. And this is why I guess many companies and organizations don't do it, because they say it's tricky to measure, but it is measurable, and I myself have been embarking on that. I'm at the university. I did a PhD on the topic to find out how can reputation best be measured, and how far does it provide to the business success.
So let's talk about South Africa. We'll talk about your chapter just now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me pick your brain about how do you measure South Africa as a country now?
I mean, I do not personally measure the status of South Africa, mm-hmm. not yet. Let me say that, because yesterday we had in this group where large and prominent organizations or companies of South Africa were present, we discussed that. How can we bring forward the brand South Africa? Where is it, and how can we bring forward? For example, we had there senior people from branding institutes, different institutes. And they talked a little bit about where South Africa stands. But I think the next step would be to compare the South African brands not only within Africa but beyond, because the companies here, they have to compete on a global level with the European companies. And
but generally, when you measure a country brand. And I suppose brand and reputation are not the same thing. We'll get to that in a minute. Do we then talk about companies? Do we talk about government? Do we talk about individuals that make up the country brand?
I mean, there
have
are.
Have I left anything out?
Yeah.
I suppose the scenery.
Now you come to from a scientific point of view, you would have several dimensions that make up a country brand that is relatively well researched. So, for example, political freedom. Resort and logic options, range of attractions, value for money, or infrastructure, or advanced technology, historical points. So it's a wild mixture, safety and security, all these things that make up the whole picture of reputation that has to be defined and operationalized. And what we see is that, because these surveys are done on a global level regularly, that Africa stands somewhere, in the out of 75 countries measured worldwide, it stands in the range of 40 only.
That's South Africa.
South Africa, yeah. As such. Within Africa, South Africa is clearly number one. Nigeria, by the way, is 75, so the last on the list. Yeah. So it's how South Africa is seen outside Africa. So in Europe and US.
Why is that? Is it important?
Oh yes, that is important because there is a so-called country of origin effect. That means how a country is seen or has a positive or negative effect on the companies that stem from this country and sell their goods outside. So Germany, I come from Germany, you know, the German automakers, the Audis, the BMW, and they live and they, of course, they communicate, they play with that, the country of origin. German engineering at that. That is, just came here by Uber now here, and the driver was a BMW, he was so happy with his BMW, it was the uppermost thing for him.
So then he automatically links that to Germany.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe not deliberately, but subconsciously. That is how it works.
And that's very important. Let's then talk about, so in terms of this chapter that you've helped form, let's just get the name right again. I want to just make note of it too. And I'm sure listeners want to know. But then I'm looking at you know, how are you going to measure the impact of the chapter itself?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the chapter is there for sharing expertise among senior people from other companies. It has industry exclusivity. That is very important because otherwise people will not share. So we're not talking about, you know, it's not a dog and pony show. Here we had a problem and we have solved it. I'm the hero. But we will talk about really issues, global issues that global corporations have on a global level. And then the others can learn from the others. So the KPI, so the key performance indicator, do we go in the right direction, is will they be more connected to the business, what they do? So to the top management, will the top management see them or allow them at the strategic table, the marketeers, the brand people, the reputation people? I know, you know, because it's business relevant. That is the ultimate litmus test.
Okay. By the way, 0891-104207, if you want to chat to Dr. Marcus Renner. So normally, of course, in the spotlight is a personality that I would think that many South Africans would be familiar with. I'm guessing many may not be familiar with you. That's okay. That's not a dent to your reputation, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Having said that, if you want to say hi to Marcus, feel free to do just that anyway. 0891-104207. We're chatting about Janine Hills off the air. Of course, from Rumour Reputation. A good friend of mine, so she may just call in, depending on how busy she is. I don't know. But 0891-104207. SMS is 34701. And if you to tweet, it's at Ashraf Gandhi. Use the hashtag afternoon talk. Ironically, that point in terms of reputation, in terms of Tokyo Sekhwale, well, as you've heard, and if you're tuning in later, you haven't, then Tokyo Sekhwale is now withdrawn from the race to become the FIFA president. What impact does it have on his reputation is another story. But we'll talk more about reputation and that issue of branding and what's the difference between branding and reputation. I think it's an important point. Otherwise, we'll also track the story of Dr. Marcus Renner. It's a fascinating story in terms of where he's come from and where is he going to as well. This is the Afternoon Talk Show.
As a Joburg property owner, you are probably wondering how the corridors of freedom might affect your asset. Well, no need to worry, unless you don't like the idea of your property increasing in value. That's right. With the city of Johannesburg restitching the city along transit corridors with high-intensity mixed-use developments and public transport, your property is likely to become that much more attractive. Corridors of Freedom. Restitching our city to create a new future for you. Joburg, a world-class African city.
Insuring one of the top 100 companies listed on the JSE is quite a nice feather to have in one's cap. You can be prouder still if you insure 5, and those who insure 10 have a lot to celebrate. At Suntem, we insure 86, which proves that we know a thing or two about protecting the successful businesses of others. Speak to your broker about how we can protect your business or visit suntem.co.za. Suntem, insurance good and proper, an authorized financial services provider.
It's Men Crush Wednesday and Caesar can't keep his eyes off Thomas Mlambo.
Thomas Mlambo!
No, not like that, silly. You see, every Wednesday is Sport at 10 Day.
Sport at 10.
And this means that while Caesar looks dead into Thomas's eyes, he will also be getting a fresh and in-depth look into the world of sports.
Fresh sport.
So, if you just like Caesar, love Thomas, and all there is to love about South African sports, then catch Sport at 10 every Wednesday at 10 on SABC 1. Brought to you by SABC Sport.
For the love of the game.
We'll lead, you follow. We're on Twitter and Facebook at SAFM Radio. In the Spotlight on Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda. All the big names making big money and even bigger headlines. Only on SAFM.
All right, with me, Dr. Marcus Renner. And we're talking reputation, we're talking branding, and we're talking about him as well, of course, right now. We'll get back to his story in just a minute. I want to stay with this, the difference between branding and reputation.
Okay, that is a... I'm grateful.
Because I'm looking at an example, and I want to pick up on the BMW you spoke about.
Yeah.
BMW you mentioned, I know exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
I know what it stands for, so the brand is solid.
Yeah.
I also have a sense of what it can deliver, so I think of the reputation as being intact.
Okay. You know, as I mentioned, I have a 12 years of corporate life, inside life within large organizations, and what I found out, I was responsible, for example, for Novartis for the global brand management, you know, 140 countries, and I was brought in to take care of the brand of Novartis. And so what you typically do is you look at the vendors who could help you on that, and I've found the people were totally devoted only to brand. But in the end, we were interested in the outcome of brand, which is reputation.
And so reputation is the outcome of brand.
Exactly. So I explained. So you can see there are two sides of one coin. They belong together. They are interdependent, you can say. Brand, to make it short, is the self-definition, your purpose, how you want to be seen, what you think you are and how you want to be seen.
Okay.
Whereas the reputation is the feedback of your stakeholders against the brand. So you cannot do any reputational activity without having defined the brand. Yeah, so they really belong together.
Okay, so a good example, topical, FIFA. I think the payoff line is for the love of the game. I'm not sure. I hope I'm right. That's the brand, the self-brand.
Yeah.
What's the reputation?
Yeah, okay, so their tagline is for the game, for the world.
For the world.
That is remarkable. I do not want to correct you, but it's very remarkable. Think about this. What a great tagline. For the game, for the world. So that is a promise. You can say that is a brand promise.
Yeah.
So you can see that as done by a smart brand agency. Yeah, but it has not been filled with life. So if you look at that, who are the key stakeholders of the FIFA? Is it, you know, are the states, the governments? Are they the football organizations? No, it's the players, the millions, the hundreds of millions football fans worldwide, which am I one of them, totally. But look at the decision to give the next, or the World Cup to Qatar. I mean, so they totally disrespected the needs of the fans. Yeah, what would you do in Qatar if you go to a tournament like the World Cup, you would like to celebrate around public viewing, having beer, having fun. All these things will not happen in Qatar. So you see that they did the most important or the most spectacular fort that didn't bring the brand to life.
Was that the most important? I mean, we'll talk about other things too, but on the one hand, you're quite right, a disregard for what fans would want. Also, I think the issue of the weather, is a disregard for
the players.
Although they
and
the air conditioning.
And the fans.
But the flip side is this, that, you know, up to now, FIFA has been seen as very Eurocentric. And the problem is, if you host a tournament, you must host it the FIFA way. So here's the flip side.
Yeah.
So if many people want to go to watch soccer and be drunk and consume alcohol, there are many others who don't want to consume alcohol. So isn't that the flip side to say the world must learn to shift, and they can't expect games to be played the same
way? And therefore, for example, I found the decision to give the World Cup to South Africa, it was exactly a very, very, very positive decision, but not to Qatar, because Qatar doesn't have the environment for that. I mean, it's desert. Yeah. So you see, again, they totally blended out their key stakeholders, and that is the worst thing you can do in terms of brand and reputation management, to disregard your key stakeholders. So an organization, any organization, might it be FIFA, might it be a corporation or even a radio center, you have to take into account your key stakeholders. Who are your key stakeholders?
Well, I would think
the listeners. Yeah, absolutely.
I always say it's all
that's
about the listeners. It's all about you
absolutely,
and me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And in terms of your experiences with regard to businesses around the world, I mean, do businesses generally get it that whoever their key stakeholder is, that do they meet the needs of that stakeholder, or do they prescribe to that stakeholder?
Yeah. The biggest challenge for them, or what I usually experience, even with blue chip companies, is that they take their internal view outside. So, for example, if I ask them on the reputation, how is the reputation? They tell me, we know exactly. Mm. Our reputation is X, Y, and that. And then I ask, where did you get that from? Yeah, we know that because we are. They always say we are direct. Always, we are in contact with the stakeholders. But only a very few proportions so far have really surveyed that on a regular level. Because if you do that, and we are doing that, we're helping organizations to do that, you very frequently find out that the self-definition, the self-perception, is far away from the perception of your stakeholders. And what we do is, this is always the first phase, this is the analysis, the gap analysis, where you see yourself, but where your stakeholders really, where they think you are, yeah, which is important. So it's the one thing is guess, the other one is reality. And then we try to bring that together, closer together.
Mm-hmm. I'm staying with FIFA because I just think it's so important and so topical and people have interest in this one. When the reputation turns against you, then the brand is damaged, right? If the reputation is the external force. So both FIFA and Sepp Blatter clearly have damaged reputations and therefore damaged brands. How do you resurrect a brand when it's damaged?
Yeah, that's a very hard topic. In terms of FIFA, I think they need a total restart on that. And it's not enough to bring in one of the two candidates who's going to be elected today. They have to go into the fundamentals, and they have to exchange lots of, you know, leadership teams. They have to look into how the people are voted, so looking into the country, you know, they're strong. The country election, of course, it has to do with corruption, all that, because everywhere in the world we have corruption. Even in Western Europe you have corruption. So I think it's a long way to go, and
would you advise them if they came to you now to say, well, the new president elected today contacts you and says, Dr. Marcus Renner, I need your advice, I need your help. Yeah. In fact, think about that one. Let me get to a caller. Impumi on the line. You need to get your headphones on, sorry, Marcus. Impumi, good chatting to you. Hi.
Hi, Ashraf.
Yeah, you put me high. No problem.
Hi. I'm a PR specialist, and I wanted to find out about the chapter that he was talking about. Brand is a buzzword, especially amongst individuals, celebrities these days. Everybody's branding themselves. Would that chapter involve perhaps PR agencies?
Okay, stay on the line because there could be a follow-up question. Yeah?
All right.
Hello, first. No, it doesn't. It's exclusively for corporates, and no vendors allowed. And I'll tell you why. Because that differentiates us from the usual conferences. People usually, you know, I have a consulting background as well. Worked for Burns Marcel, a large PR agency. The people have their own agenda. Yeah. So
yeah.
if there are vendors at the table, they will bring in their agenda to try to sell something. But here, there are only peers from within the industry and organization that, we have an extremely high trust level there, and they do share things they would never share to an agency, for example.
Okay. Does that help you? Does that disappoint you?
A bit disappointed, but I do understand what he's saying. My follow-up question to that, perhaps, when I'll just listen on over the radio, would be, even with corporates or even businesses, branding has become so important because people are becoming brand loyal. But how important is consistency in maintaining that trust that he's talking about?
Okay, I think it's critically important. Let's get to... Okay, you're going to listen on the radio, right? Yeah? In Pumi? Okay, I think she will. She's gone now. Consistency in maintaining that trust?
Absolutely critical. First, you have to define what you stand for, and then you have to make sure that it's been communicated and delivered consistently over time. So reputation is always a marathon, not a sprint.
And do you think people generally don't get that? When I say people, companies, brands don't get it.
Yeah,
they can do a quick fix and that's it.
Yeah, that's the reason why so many are advertising agencies involved in that. If you look at the advertising industry today, they all claim we are experts in brand and reputation. Yeah, but what they do is always short-sighted. What they build is they create, they pump up images. Image is something different than reputation. Reputation is long-term image. You can build an image short-term, send out nice billboards and ads and so on. And say, here, I'm the king, but you have to live the promise, the brand promise, and that is building reputation.
Okay, so let's just then, I want to clear this up. In terms of what you do with regard to branding and reputation, right, give us a practical example of your day job, your day-to-day job in terms of what do you actually do?
Yeah, for example, there's a, let's make that up, a very concrete example, somewhere in Europe, a new CEO of a large organization that has undergone a merger from, you know, two companies. They had to find a new to invent a new name, so the company is now or it has another name. But the challenge is that so beforehand there were 50,000 people, now there are 100,000 people, 50,000 of the old organization, 50,000 of the other organization. Mm-hmm. So they still have a kind of identity from their old organization, but now they have to bring it together
into
one.
Let's call it East Germany and West Germany.
That's for example. That's
okay. So you'd get involved in that and do what?
Yeah, in first analyze. At the beginning is always analyze it. Having internal interviews, want to know really what the people think, and not only the top management, because that is very often disconnected from what the top management thinks and what the normal employees think. And then, of course, asking external stakeholders on how they perceive that organization, and get lots of findings out of that, and pull that together into a plan. What needs to be tackled when?
Do you find often that when people say we need to do research first, as you actually suggesting, then companies will say, but that's what everybody says, and you know, so what about it? And then we can do that ourselves. Why
but,
do we need you?
Yeah,
to
but
that?
The measuring reputation is science started 30 years ago. It's relatively easy to measure reputation, but what we do is, and I'm part of the research community, because I'm a researcher as well, I'm interested in how can you transform reputation into business. So if we do measure the reputation of any organization, we can look into the future of that and find out what are the critical elements of that company and of the reputation of the company with regard to their stakeholders in order to grow business. That means, very concretely, what makes them more likely to recommend the company? What makes them more likely to buy or purchase a product of the company?
And it sounds so pretty simple, but it's that important when you ignore it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we try to look into the future, and this discipline is only like 10 years old.
So in simple terms, I'm like talking to you right now. People are listening. What will get a listener to tell a friend they need to listen to the show like next week, Monday? That type of thing. Being aware of that. 3:30, lots more to come. Fascinating getting into the mind of Dr. Marcus Renner, talking branding and reputation. 3:30, here's the news headlines.